And watch Jeannie and Claire go, not that one again. At just the right time, let's make sure we all agree it's time to go so that the preacher who hasn't preached for a little while doesn't get carried away. Fair enough? When I went to Peru on vacation, there was an earthquake. Then I went to Belize, and there was an earthquake. And then I went to, not Guatemala. I didn't have an earthquake in Guatemala. Belize, it wasn't Costa Rica, but it was close. Three places that I went had earthquakes. I'm a Florida boy. We're used to hurricanes and on a rare occasion a tornado, but I'm telling you, earthquakes are very disconcerting. The ground is not supposed to move. There's a reason that it's supposed to be, we say we're grounded. It's so that we stay stable. It's a good thing that when you become a Christian that life gets stable and you don't have any other changes and no more anxiety, right? Like you, there have been times when there has been too much change or things have been too crazy that I too have been anxious. Has anybody else been anxious in the last year? Raise your hand if you've been anxious in the last year. All right, so there's a sense we're all in this together, right? The world has anxiety, and even good, faithful Christians experience some anxiety. You're with me? I want us to change the language as we consider what anxiety does to us. It's a real small change. Instead of saying grounded, I want you to hear the rest of this sermon in light of the word anchored. Not grounded, but anchored. The ground is supposed to be stable, earthquakes aside. Water, on the other hand, is not intended to be stable. Am I right? There is a sense in which there's supposed to be waves and ripples and all kinds of crazy things, and so maybe we can look at our life a little bit more like riding the waves or skiing behind a ski boat or something like that so that we recognize that we're anchored to something, but not always, it doesn't always feel like we're grounded and the same. If you haven't felt a little out of control over the course of the last year, you have not been awake. And you certainly haven't been watching some TV channels. There have been lots of changes. And a lot of the changes, the part where our anxiety kicks up is because we have the sense that we're out of control, that we're no longer grounded. For us, it has a couple of years ago, we had this tremendous shift between pastors and Bob went into retirement, and I came here after being at a church that I served for 8 years. At the same time, the United Methodist Church is trying to find its grounding. We've experienced a fairly seismic shift in the way our government looks. The rate of change in the world has been too much, thank you very much. Anybody else with me on that? This week, two people who stood up for somebody because somebody was being abused and name called died because they said, stop doing that. This week, children were killed at a concert. That's just not right. Our world has shifted. The world is always shifting. The crazy thing is we get used to normal after a little while and we think that therefore life never changes. Do you know why we have time zones? Somebody raise their hand if they know why we have time zones. We have time zones because trains were running into each other. Before time zones, 12 o'clock in one city happened when the sun was straight up, and 12 o'clock in the next city was when the sun was straight up. But the train didn't leave there at noon here. It left at noon there. And too many people were dying in train crashes because the trains would leave thinking that they had left at the right time, and they'd run into each other. We don't have those problems anymore, do we? Well, not with trains. We don't have train crashes and train problems as much as we did in the 1860s and the 1870s, and because we have time zones. So we looked at that, and that was too much, and it caused great anxiety, and so we fixed it. We have to look at the rate of change and those kind of things and handle it the best we can because we are anchored to something, not because we are trying to make sure the world doesn't shift, because the world moves fast. First Peter is written into a time when Peter and Paul are going to be killed, and yet First Peter says, obey the government, or something just like that. In a few years, Revelation is going to be written, and it's going to be almost diametrically opposed to some of the language in First Peter, because the world has shifted underneath the church. The world shifts. So we can look at it one way or another. We can hold on to the roller coaster ride really, really tight, or we can put our arms up and enjoy the ride. And some days I hold on really tight, and I'm anxious. Let me summarize this passage of Scripture as I read it. It says something like, let your life be in Christ. Frame it inside the life and the purpose of Christ. Follow so closely that when you suffer, you are reminded of Christ's suffering. Follow so closely that when you suffer, you are reminded of Christ's suffering. Give to God your anxiousness. And when you get anxious, think about God. Connect to God. Offer yourself back into the world without anxiousness. Do what is right. If suffering comes from that, then you are in good company. Let me say that one more time. Do what is right, and if suffering comes from that, you are in good company. But just because someone suffers does not mean they are following Christ. Some people suffer because they make terrible decisions. Some people suffer because they are mean or do things against the law and they get put in prison. Not all suffering is created equal. Likewise, not all anxiousness and not all peace is created equal. Some folks are anxious for good reason, and that's all right. And some folks are anxious, I don't know why, without good reason. Some folks are at peace, and they just have, it's not because they're not anxious, it's because they just quit. They stop caring about how other folks are affected. Hey, I'm at peace. Life's good for me. But we're not called by Christ and by God to be that kind of humanity. Not all suffering is created equal. Let me say it again. Do what is right, no matter what comes. If suffering or anxiety comes in the midst of us following God's will, lean into God and be faithful. There is a sense in which we have to live in a both-and world. We're both semi-restless and semi-satisfied. God is good and God is loving, and we should be comforted in that. And at the same time, the world is broken and there's stuff to be done, and we should be restless in that. How do we live a less anxious life in the midst of great change? Because just because we're anxious doesn't mean we can make the change slow down. Anybody tried that? So when I am anxious, I try to look inside myself and my actions and consider what's going on for me, because often it's about how I'm responding to it, not really how God and the world are working. Oftentimes when I'm anxious, I discover that I haven't spent much time in devotion lately. Anybody else? Is that just me? But preacher, you're the one that's supposed to do it on our behalf. All of us have got to spend time connecting to God. Often when I'm anxious, I can look around and I can see that I'm spending too much time watching or reading too many news sources. When I was in Cuba, the world was amazing. Everything we did felt like it had great meaning. We were getting our eyes open. And as soon as we could see the news sources again, I could feel my body just tightening up. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes when I'm feeling anxious, it's because I'm hearing way too much Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky didn't fall when the plague happened. The sky didn't fall during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The sky really didn't fall on 9/11. The crazy thing is our perspective shifted. I want you to consider that the world was not less safe the day after 9/11 than it was the day before 9/11. Although our whole mindset shifted. The day before, it was unsafe. We just didn't know it. Anchored, not grounded. God doesn't shift. And if God is shifting, God is trying to ask us to come along with God. That's, I kept going back to the water skiing mentality. Yes, I want to be anchored, but there is a sense in which we get pulled through the world of change. How many of you water skied? I grew up in Florida, and I learned to snow ski before I learned to water ski. That doesn't make any sense to me, but my aunt's house had a little tiny hill, and we were up there one winter, and I learned to go down a little tiny hill, snow ski. That's what I called it, snow ski. But in Florida, we didn't have a boat in my family growing up, so I didn't get access to water skiing until I was doing campus ministry at UNC and got to learn how to water ski. I love water skiing. But one thing you notice real quick is that the water's always shifting. And if you don't like where it is where you are, move a little bit. It may be a little bit better from that perspective. I was anchored, tethered, not grounded. I don't know whether that's got to be my microphone. Sorry about that. I read something in the last couple of weeks as I was thinking about the sermon. It said, worrying won't stop bad things from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good things. And the next line in your brain should be, so stop worrying. There's no upside to worry. There's only downside. It's almost guaranteed. So today I want you to consider connection to God, an anchor line to the cross. When in doubt, when things are changing, when you're feeling too anxious, your response is still always the same. Love unconditionally. No matter what the world does, our Christian response is the same as Jesus' response. Love unconditionally. Will it make us suffer? Maybe. Doesn't matter. Love unconditionally. What's the most unconditionally loving decision I can make? What's the most unconditionally loving action I can take? What is the best way to follow Jesus? How can I live like Jesus' life coming to earth, being in the flesh, matters? How can I live incarnationally like God created everything? Part of it for us is to live authentic to the way God wired us. For me, it means that I look at things a little different. I work through the issues of my family of origin. I don't consider issues related to my family of origin to be the way God made me, but they are circumstances of my personal life. There are some things that are God-given, and there are some things that are the world getting in the way of God. Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. That's what his mother taught him. Look for the helpers. Did you hear that this week? Said that whenever something really catastrophic happens, if you will watch for those folks who are running towards the fire and are helping, that you'll see that humanity is still a blessed place and there's still hope. I think that one of the best things for me to do whenever I'm feeling particularly anxious is to go play with the dog. If you've got a cat, pet the cat. If you can catch the cat. I'm a dog guy. I heard from a great friend this week that part of it for them is, as a family, is to have space to catch your breath. Life is hard, and sometimes we're in the midst of that really hard stuff, but we're not going to talk about that at dinner. We're going to make dinner about being together. How do you find a place to catch your breath in the midst of crazy? Maybe it's to find a counselor. Maybe it's you've got good friends. Maybe you turn to your family. Maybe you surrender it to God. And when I say surrender to God, I don't mean give up. I mean stop worrying about it. So here is my recipe for how I handle crazy, chaotic times. I know whose I am. I am God's. I know my weaknesses and my strengths, and sometimes I handle that well and sometimes I don't. I know that I don't know everything. I know that I'm willing to do research, so the news can't always steal my focus. I am willing to monitor my own emotional health. I'm willing to care for my spiritual life. I am mature enough to know that I can't control most things, so I have resolved to play the ball where it lands. I believe golf is a great image for how we live a Christian life. It doesn't matter where the ball lands, you know where you're still to aim. Sometimes you can control where the ball goes, and sometimes the wind or a tree gets in the way. And it goes differently than you were hoping. But you always know wherever it lands where you're to aim. I know my aim. I know our goal. That is God first. I believe God is first, known best through Jesus Christ, so my life is anchored to the cross, a crucified God, unconditional love. I know that my only hope comes in grace, so I try to extend as much grace to others in hopes that God can use those moments to bless others. God is the same. I am the same. Our calling is the same. The aim of the church is the same, to build the kingdom of God. We are the church in this moment in time and this place, and our response to anxiety will dictate whether we get to be purposeful or whether we're reactive and fearful. Jesus said it this way, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, God and money, God and stuff. I think sometimes we are grounded to the earth and our stuff and our wealth and our dreams. And I invite you to be anchored, tethered to God, where moths and rust and time, use, don't steal it from us. Today, once again, we are sent out the exact same way. The world may feel crazy and mean and chaotic and sick and selfish. We ourselves may feel mad or disoriented or hurt, but our aim is the same. Love God, love our neighbors, love ourselves, and love our enemies. Don't be distracted from your calling. Let us pray. O God of grace, send us out with an ability to hold on to the line, anchored to you. Let us be at peace in our relationship with you, so that we might be encouraged to risk loving in a crazy world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.